Okay, so you've given us a really interesting set of sources this time.
Yeah.
It all seems to be about this question of, with all the talk about a potential recession coming and especially the fears of a tariff-induced recession.
Right.
And then you look at the stock market and you see some of the major AI players like NVIDIA, Alphabet, Salesforce, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Their stock prices have softened a bit recently.
Right.
So will businesses sort of, put the brakes on AI adoption?
Right.
Or could all this pressure actually make AI even more appealing?
That's a fascinating question. And looking at the sources you've provided, we've got this really interesting mix of stuff about how automation has been shaped by past economic downturns, what's going on right now in AI research and development, and even some perspectives that are a little more, future-oriented.
Totally. So I think our mission in this deep dive is to sort of like cut through the immediate headlines, the noise, and try to understand the potential long-term impact on AI adoption.
Yeah.
And we'll do that by looking at these historical patterns and what's happening right now
Right.
at the cutting edge. And hopefully we can give you some clear and surprising insights without totally overloading you with information.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so why don't we dive in? And I think a really interesting place to start is by looking back,
Okay.
because it might seem a little counterintuitive, but there's this really compelling case to be made that recessions or economic slumps have sometimes actually been good for automation.
Yeah, that is interesting. The historical record seems to bear that out. I mean, if you look at the research you've shared on the Great Depression, for instance, it really challenges those initial assumptions you might have. Like, yeah, obviously there was that initial dip where investment faltered at the very start.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But the work of this economist, Shingo Watanabe, he highlights this really significant resurgence of investment after 1933. And the key insight there is that, that necessity that's driven by this really intense economic hardship, it can actually really accelerate that drive for adopting new technologies, even when there's not a lot of capital
Hey, what he
available.
spent up front.
Exactly. Because you're looking to cut costs. And in fact, the rate at which factories, mines, agriculture adopted automation in the, second half of the 1930s, it actually surpassed the implementation rate of the roaring 20s, which you think of as this,
Yeah, the boom
just
years.
boom time.
So that's wild. That's totally counterintuitive. You'd think a massive crisis like that would like freeze everything.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the pressure was so intense that businesses were like, okay, we have to figure out any possible way to be more efficient.
Exactly.
And it seems like that pattern kind of repeated in more recent downturns too, right? Like the jobless recoveries after the recessions in the 80s and 2001.
Exactly. We see that same sort of dynamic there. And there's some great research by economists like Nir Jimovich and Henry See that really points to this link between those periods and the adoption of computer technologies and manufacturing automation.
So it's like businesses are kind of looking at these economic headwinds and thinking, okay, if we're going to weather this storm, we need to cut costs.
Yeah.
And they're looking to technology to do that.
Exactly. And the key there is replacing human labor with technology to achieve greater efficiency and lower those long-term costs.
Now, the material also mentions that offshoring was a big part of that.
Yeah, definitely. That played a significant role.
Okay, and then we get to the Great Recession, 2008, 2009.
Right.
And it seems like this trend of adopting technology during recessions continued and maybe even shifted more towards those digital skills.
Absolutely. And there's this research by Brad Erbsheim and Lisa Kahn that I thought was really insightful. Their work shows that following the 2008-2009 recession, employer demand shifted significantly towards software and coding skills,
That's really interesting.
which is a strong indicator that companies were investing in digital technologies.
To automate stuff.
Yeah, to streamline their operations, basically.
Okay.
And there's actually another really interesting study by Alexander Kopytov, Nikolai Rusinov, and Mathieu Taschereau-Dumichel.
Wow, that's a
I
mouthful.
know, right? They use really sophisticated economic modeling to specifically show that the recession accelerated implementation of automation technologies.
So again, that same pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, we can't forget the COVID-19 pandemic, which was a very different kind of economic shock.
Absolutely. But it was almost like hitting fast forward on digital adoption across the board.
Yeah, totally. And what's really interesting there is how quickly and how broadly it happened.
Right.
Like, there's research from the OECD that shows that businesses everywhere, even those that have been really hesitant before, they suddenly had to implement all these digital technologies.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about enabling people to work remotely, but it was also things like cloud computing, e-commerce,
right,
automating all sorts of business processes.
Yeah, it was really a powerful example of how a crisis can force widespread adoption of technology,
yeah,
just out of sheer necessity.
Okay, so we've got this pattern that seems to be emerging.
Yeah.
But the material you gave us also points out that it's not necessarily a universal law.
Right.
Especially when you look outside the U.S., like that study on German firms cutting IT spending during the 2008 crisis and some similar findings in other European countries.
Yeah.
It suggests maybe things are a little more complicated.
Yeah, it raises this question of context, right?
Yeah.
Because the information suggests that Europe's more rigid labor laws might be a factor.
Okay.
If it's harder and more expensive to let go of employees.
Yeah.
The incentive to invest heavily in automation might not be as strong.
Makes sense. Yeah. And then East Asia is a whole other story, right?
Yeah, totally.
Recessions there have sometimes led to, you know, falling output and productivity, but without a clear shift toward automation. And that's even though they often have fewer labor protections.
Yeah. So it seems like the relationship between economic downturns and technological adoption, it's not this sort of simple one-to-one thing.
It's complicated.
It's complex, and it probably depends on all sorts of economic, social, regulatory factors.
So zooming back out to our main question.
Yeah.
And focusing specifically on the U.S.,
right,
it seems like the historical evidence really does point towards this scenario where a tariff-induced recession could actually boost AI adoption because of that pressure on businesses to cut costs.
Yeah, that's a really key insight. While the initial reaction might be to pull back and cut investment,
right,
that underlying pressure to be more efficient and reduce those labor costs, it could very well lead companies to view AI as a vital solution.
Okay, so let's switch gears a bit and talk about the current AI landscape.
Okay.
The material mentions that even before we were talking about tariffs, there were some signs that investors might have been getting a little less excited about AI.
Yeah, that's an important point to note.
Like if you look at the stock performance of those big players, it wasn't all just, you know, this straight upward trajectory.
Exactly.
So maybe some kind of market adjustment was coming anyway.
Potentially, yeah.
And then we throw the tariffs into the mix.
Right.
And suddenly you've got venture capitalists telling startups to brace for impact.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk of delays in data center construction companies thinking about scaling back spending on AI software.
Yeah.
It seems like the opposite of what we were just talking about.
Well, it really highlights that initial uncertainty, that kind of ripple effect that happens when you have a big economic event.
Like that gut reaction is just to hunker down.
Yeah, pull back on spending anything that's not absolutely essential.
But if we think about the historical evidence we were just discussing, maybe this initial pullback is just setting the stage for a more strategic shift.
Right, because companies might realize that AI isn't just some nice-to-have extra.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a vital tool for navigating a recession.
By making them more efficient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And helping them lower those operational costs in the long run.
And this is where the perspective from PwC in the material gets really interesting.
Yeah.
They make this point that businesses that are embracing AI are going to have to focus on speed and innovation, even if they can't do those huge rollouts,
right,
which suggests that AI is still strategically important.
Yeah, it's not about those big sprawling AI projects anymore.
Yeah.
It's about finding those targeted high-impact applications that deliver real cost savings or efficiency gains quickly.
So even in a downturn, that core value proposition of AI,
yeah,
the fact that it can drive both innovation and efficiency, that becomes even more critical.
Absolutely, because when everyone's watching their budgets closely,
yeah,
those capabilities become even more valuable.
Okay, now the material also talks about some really fascinating stuff that's happening in the AI space right now. Like the UK's proposed copyright regulations and the stance that OpenAI and Google are taking on, it feels like that could have some pretty big long-term implications for AI training data.
Definitely. It introduces this element of uncertainty into the equation.
Right.
And it highlights how crucial training data is.
Yeah.
And the stance of those companies, OpenAI, Google, they really emphasize that importance.
Mm.
And, you know, it raises all these potential legal challenges and complexities around how that data can be used.
So that's something we'll have to watch closely because it could affect how accessible and how expensive training data is in the future.
Absolutely.
And then there's Meta's Llama 4 release.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Which has generated a lot of buzz, but also a lot of debate.
Definitely.
They claim it's got superior performance, especially for this unreleased behemoth model.
Uh-huh.
But then there are these questions about how they tested the smaller models that were actually released.
Right, the Scout and Maverick models.
So what does all this tell us about where AI development is at right now?
I think the key takeaway is that there's still so much rapid innovation happening.
Yeah.
And there's intense competition.
Like even with the economy maybe slowing down a bit. The big players are still pushing the boundaries.
Exactly. And I think the controversy around the benchmarks,
yeah,
it just shows how hard it is to really objectively measure how capable these models are.
Especially as they get more complex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the fact that all this progress is happening at all,
yeah,
it tells you that the drive to keep pushing AI forward is still really strong.
And speaking of Progress Runway's new Gen 4 video generation model.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a huge leap forward in terms of creating consistent characters and scenes.
It's pretty impressive.
You can easily see how that would be a game changer for all sorts of industries.
Absolutely.
Especially now when budgets are tight and everyone's looking for ways to create content more cost effectively.
Right. Because in a recessionary environment, that ability to generate high quality video,
yeah,
efficiently and potentially fewer people involved,
yeah,
I think it becomes incredibly attractive.
So it's a really concrete example of how these AI advancements can lead to real cost savings and drive adoption in certain sectors.
Totally. And then you've got Microsoft's recent Copilot update,
okay,
which has these enhanced personalization features,
yep,
and can now do things across the internet.
Yeah, it's like AI is becoming more and more integrated into the tools we use every day.
Exactly. And that kind of seamless integration.
Yeah.
It lowers the barrier to entry.
Totally. And that's a big deal.
And it means that the potential for productivity gains is much more immediate.
Which is even more important when you're in a cost-conscious environment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Businesses are always looking for ways to optimize.
Yeah.
And those productivity gains become even more attractive in a downturn.
It's also interesting to see that the Trump administration is reportedly pushing to speed up AI adoption in government agencies.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I mean, it seems like a pretty strong signal that they believe in the transformative power of AI.
It definitely shows that there's this broader recognition of how strategically important AI is.
Yeah.
Even at the government level.
Yeah.
There's this push to get past the red tape,
yeah,
and really promote the use of AI.
Like they're thinking long term.
Exactly. They've got a vision for the impact of AI that goes beyond these short term economic ups and downs.
And then there's the news about OpenAI potentially buying Sam Altman's and Joni Ive's hardware startup.
Oh, right. The one that's focused on this non-phone device.
Yeah, for voice-enabled AI interaction.
Yeah. That's a fascinating one.
That's a major investment and a pretty big bet on the future of how we'll interact with AI.
Totally. And I think what's really interesting there is that they're thinking so far ahead.
Yeah, like they're not letting the current economic climate dictate their vision.
Exactly. They're investing in these novel ways for humans and AI to interact.
Yeah.
Which suggests that they have a very strong belief in the long-term potential of AI.
And finally, there's that research coming out of ByteDance on their Megascale Infer system, which is all about running large language models more efficiently on existing GPU hardware.
Yeah, that seems really relevant now.
Totally. Anything that can bring down the cost of running AI infrastructure, especially when businesses might be tightening their belts.
Exactly. And it speaks to this ongoing effort to make AI more accessible and more cost effective, which would be a huge advantage in a recession.
Okay, so we've talked about the historical patterns, the current AI landscape.
Yeah.
Now, the material you gave us also brings up this AI 2027 scenario.
Right.
It's this thought experiment about what might happen if AI keeps advancing really rapidly and maybe even leads to us losing control.
Yeah, it's a pretty provocative idea.
Definitely. And it comes from some pretty credible people in the AI community.
Right.
So it's definitely sparked a lot of discussion.
And it really highlights the potential of AI.
Yeah.
Both the positive and the potentially negative.
And I don't think it's meant to be taken as a prediction.
No.
But more as like food for thought.
Yeah, just something to consider as we think about the long-term implications of all this.
Okay, so to wrap things up for our listener, it seems like while a recession might seem like a bad thing for AI at first, the historical evidence we've discussed suggests that it could actually be a catalyst.
Especially in the U.S.
Yeah, especially in the U.S. Businesses need to cut costs and AI could be the answer.
Exactly. And while things might play out differently in other parts of the world?
Right, because every country has its own unique situation.
Hmm.
It's definitely a possibility here.
Definitely.
So hopefully this deep dive has given you a more nuanced view of what's going on
yeah.
than just reading headlines about the AI boom being over.
Right, because it's more complex than that.
Yeah. It might not be about the boom ending, but about how AI gets adopted.
Yeah.
And maybe a bigger focus on those applications that can save money and make businesses more efficient.
Exactly.
And so this brings us to a final thought for you, our listener.
Okay.
If we think about how recessions have often driven big technological shifts in the past,
mm-hmm.
and we consider these ambitious, maybe even disruptive visions of the future, like that AI 2027 scenario.
Right.
What parts of work, business, even your daily life, do you think are going to be most affected by AI in the coming years,
mm-hmm.
no matter what happens with the economy?
That's a great question to ponder. Those long-term implications are really worth thinking about.
Right. Yeah.